I want you to turn with me in the book of Luke chapter 10. Just some few verses there. When you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, we see a discourse going on there between some ladies who have been Christians and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the disciples also are nearby. In fact, it's a very good discourse going on. It is something going on there. But what I want to talk about tonight is about our first priority in life. We have many priorities in life. But we have the best of the best priority in life, which every man need really to depend upon. You see, sometime in our Christian life, you may think in yourself and say, sure, I know God. That's how you may think. But truly is, how can people know you know God? They will look at your priority in life. And the time you give to the priority. If you give the priority, the first priority in life, a short time, that means that's not what you love mostly. But what the first priority in life, the more time you give, everyone will know. You know, when you claim to be, people will automatically discover by how many times you give to what you say I claim to be. So, my fellow brothers in the Lord, it's simple to know how much you love God than you saying, I claim to love God. The time you give God, people will automatically know, surely you love God. And if God is not first in your life, people also will know. Why? You will not give God most of your time. Though the time in this world is most very important, God did not give the time for nothing. Everyone have a schedule. Isn't it so? And in our schedule, we have a priority in life. And the first priority in life, we put it as a goal or a focus. What I want to reach. Now, when I do that, I put it forward and I say, this is what I want to do. Then I give my time for that. Why do I talk about the first priority in life? There are so many things in the world. So many. The truth is, they are good. But they are not the best of the best. Why do I say they are not the best of the best? If we go back to the scripture, I'll be going back to the scripture so that you may understand what I'm talking about. The best of the best is something I'm going to talk about, but that one will never pass away. But everything, whatever we see on earth here, either being education, either I'm a doctor, there's no man who will be a doctor in heaven when we die. Is there any? No way. There is no one who will be a teacher in heaven. No way. So you find whatever we get on earth, we'll leave it here. Except there is only one thing the Bible talks about. That even whatever happens, we'll have it for all eternity. Never will that pass away. So you find that everything on the world will always be secondary. But we have the primary one, which will never pass away. And that really we need, as born again Christian, to focus onto that and let that be our goal. You know, when you look at the discourse here about Jesus Christ, we see Jesus Christ here, and we see Mary, and we see Martha. You know who Martha is? Martha is a woman, you know. The sister to who? The sister to Lazarus? The Bible tells us about who Lazarus was. Very great friend of Jesus Christ. Because if he was not the greatest friend of Jesus Christ, Mary wouldn't mention and say, your friend has died. But now look at what is going on here. Mary, Jesus, with the Bible is very clear that most of the time, Jesus had a time when Lazarus was still alive. He used to have a good time with them in that home and in that family. And I think most of Jesus' time, he took his time talking to people about the Word of God, about the kingdom to come, how heaven good is, and why he came to earth. And I think in this family, these people always had him talk about eternal life, you know. You know, you believe in me, you have eternal life, you need to live a holy life, you need to walk like this, there is hell. They heard all about that. And what happened? When you read the story, you will discover something here. Martha as usual. And you know that's how we are. As usual. You know, when the pastor speaks, we say, those are the words. You know, pastor always talk about that. Don't you know? Then we laugh and say, you know. Even sometimes when you open the scripture, you say, yeah, I know what he's going to talk about today. Because some 2 months back, he spoke about the same message. And that message is not for you. You'll say, no, I think that message is for so and so there, right there. Which one is yours? Now, why do you think that takes place? Now, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says how Jesus came into that village. And who welcomes Jesus Christ in the home? Martha. Say, Jesus, you are welcome. I think Mary was inside. And when Jesus came in, you know what we mean by schedule? Jesus was somebody who had the schedule. And the first priority in his life was to teach the Word of God. Because that was the most important thing in his life. He came to preach the Word of God and to die for our sin. And he had to make sure by the time when he was going to cross, he has finished the job his Father has sent it for. Can we also be like that? That we say that by the time when we are going to die, say, brothers, I think my time has come. But we speak like Paul and say, I've finished the what? The race. Now I'm ready to receive the crown of righteousness. I'm ready to receive the glory. I'm ready to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we really say like that? The question comes, is there any difference between Paul and you? Me, sometimes I say there is no difference. Why do I say there is no difference? I say there is no difference because Paul was just like you. Paul was even more worse than you were. But one thing I know, that Paul was the worst sinner because he killed 2,000 people. And Paul always said, I'm the worst sinner. Why should I be called apostle? But Jesus, by his grace, the grace of God, didn't look at what I did. But he looked at me and said, my son, come here. And Paul loved it. Now look at here, I'm still here. Don't go. Remember what I talk about, the first priority in life. I don't want you to forget that. And I told you there are many important things. There are many priorities. But all will pass away. But there is one which will not pass away. And Jesus emphasized unto that, to every born again Christian. He tells Martha, Martha is there, welcome them. After they have sat, he left them seated. And what happened? He goes to the kitchen. Can we say cooking is bad? Very good. Yeah, cooking is not bad. But everything has its own time. You see, this was not the time for cooking. This was the time to sit at the feet of the Master and listen to the Word of God. There are times for us to cook. There are times for us to do our own business. There are times to sit at the feet of the servant of the Lord and listen to what the Word of God wants us to be. God doesn't hate what we do. And God does not say we should not work. He says if you don't want to work, you should not eat. Is that not what the Bible says? Very clear like that. But he's saying, what is your priority, the first priority in your life? Because if you say, I love you, what so that really you love him? Ladies who are married, before you get married, when the boy was dating you, and how many times did you used to call on him? Huh? Could it take long before you take a phone and say, hello John, how are you? What do you mean by that? Why was all the time you are trying to recall, all the time you are trying to find out, where is he? Are things okay? And you know when you call and he doesn't say hello, then you say hello. Oh John, are you sick? Are things okay? Why do you ask that all the time? You see, because there is love going on. Now, the Bible says Martha welcomed our Lord Jesus in their home. But the Bible is very clear that he left Jesus Christ with her sister, sat at the feet of our Lord. And he went to do the job. And not only that, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says, as she was in the kitchen there, and Jesus was teaching. You know the disciples were there sitting. Mary was there sitting. And this is not only the first time. When you read about Mary, there are many incidents where Mary was the feet of Jesus Christ. Everywhere. And whenever Jesus speaks something, Mary never answered back. He took it by faith and he believed it and he took it and said, the Lord our God has spoken. Now, when you read here, what do you hear? What kind of a vista is this? What do you think? Martha comes out from there. And whom does he complain to? To the vista. What do you think? Can you complain to a vista? Do you know a vista you can complain to? The person whom you have got used to. He has talked many words. He has been with you for many times. Then he says, you see, my husband, he's just seated there. He can't come even and help me. Because, you know, you don't see the reason why. Because you have had enough. And that's what we hear. We welcome our Lord at home. And after welcoming him, then we say, we have had enough. And that's why when they say Bible study, people say, Bible study? Wonder we have read Bible study. The Bible study. What did the pastor say? Bible study? Every day, Bible. I know what he's going to teach today. But the Bible says Mary never got tired because that was the first priority in her life. And he knew that what he has got, no man can give. And he knew he had got the best of the best. Sometimes we are born, but we don't know the best of the best we have really found. Which we cannot get from anywhere. Now, the Bible says, Martha arrived and say, Jesus, are you not caring anyway? Why Mary sit at your feet that is listening to you? Don't you think I'm busy in the kitchen? Tell her to come and help me there. You know what it is? She has been hearing Jesus talking about the same things. Talking about internal life. Talking about this. And he said, I've had enough. Are you like that? Do you say, I've had enough? Or do you say, I love him? Pastor, I love him. But what so you love him? How many times do you give? How many times do you sit under his feet in a week? And if you love him, what offer do you give to him? What so really you love him? And really you appreciate what God has done in your life. There's what we call appreciation. If someone has given you something which is for eternity, and somebody has given you a car whereby you will drive for 3 years, then you don't like a car anymore. Who among the two has given you the best? Me, I think what Jesus has given us is the best. And for sure we need to cling on that and keep holding. Whatever happens, we will keep on holding until the end. Never to get tired, because it is the best of the best. Something does not expire. Something which will never pass away. See? So Jesus is turning Martha and say, Martha, thank you very much. I've heard your report. But I think your report is not the best. And then Jesus told Martha that, Martha, it is not only that. You are distracted with many, many things. Many, many things. Do you know how we make excuses? There are many excuses which come in our life as born again Christian. I think when I speak this one, pastor will really understand better. But this one, when I talk it, he won't understand better. Let me speak this one. And that's how Martha come in. But the problem we have, that we don't know, God knows us more than anyone else. He knows who you are. He knows your problem. He knows all the things which are always hindering you to follow him. Even if you don't tell the pastor. But God knows. But the Bible says Jesus had to answer Martha here and say, Martha, what Mary has chosen is an extra something which is the best, which will never be taken away from her. And that's why I was asking you today, have you ever known the best of the best in this world where we live? Is that which you have achieved? And no man can give you that. Somebody can come and rob you. Somebody can come and take everything. Somebody can come and take your life. But he will never take away salvation. He will never. And I think that is the best. What a joy when you walk in the street and you know that your name is written in the book of life. Won't you rejoice for that? That you have a home. You are a son of God, adopted in that kingdom, and God is waiting for you. When are you coming home? And there he is waiting and say, when my son comes, this is where he will live. What a joy is that? But why don't we rejoice for that? Now, if I want to tell you something, that the first priority of Martha's life was not Jesus Christ. Now listen. The Bible tells us about when Lazarus died. He passed away. 4 days, Jesus has not come. They send a message and Jesus is not there. And you know, Jesus is Lord and he knows what wants to take place. He wants the name of the Lord to be exalted. And who is to exalt the name of the Lord? It's you and me. How can people know you have something which is better than what they have?
How can they know? They can't know. Unless you are ready also to give unto them the best you have acquired.
So Jesus comes back. The first person to meet Jesus at the gate is Martha. You know, Martha was very fast. Very good.
And say, Jesus, you know, if you are here,
my brother wouldn't have died.
And that's the truth.
Because he knew that Jesus is the healer of every disease, isn't it so?
Yes.
And the Bible says, Mary is crying and Mary is coming and there he is. Now you are going to see the difference. Who really understands and take it into his heart, and by faith he understands it, smoke it, and he make it as a practice of his life, and he will always walk according to that word, and he will never look back, but he look ahead where it's going, and he knows that what he has said is true. Sometime, you know, God speaks to us in his word. But when he speaks to us, we don't take it as the word of God. Sometimes we take it as the word of a pastor. He is pastor who has said. Today he said this anyway, but me, anyway, okay. But the first thing we need to say that this is the word of God. The word of God. Whenever pastor speaks the word of God, it is God speaking to you. And if you disobey, you are not disobeying the pastor. Do you know whom you are disobeying? You are disobeying God. And you will always give accountability one day. You will not stand before God and say, you see, pastor preached, but I didn't obey. Did you hear my word? That will be the question. I heard, sir, but I didn't obey. Then if you didn't obey, what is next? So Martha, and that's how we are, my brothers and my sisters. For surely Jesus has come. We have received him in our life. But the problem that we have refused to obey. We have refused to listen. You get the point? We try to compare him with what we have. We are trying to compare heaven with what we have. We compare God, Jesus Christ, with what we have. We compare what we are with Jesus, with what we have. How can you compare what you are now with what you have? How can we compare what we are with things which are going to pass away? Which tomorrow won't be there. Solomon was the richest man ever lived. When you read Exodus, Solomon said, they are nothing. They are like wind. Why? I don't know whether the wealth of Solomon is still there. They are no longer there. He tried all he can. He married many wives. But still, he said, I never had peace. He had all the wealth the man could have. He still, he never had peace. Then he said, what are these? He said, it's like chasing the wind. I was never, nothing did I fail in my life at all. You see how the world is? But I tell you, you are the joyful guy, person I ever seen. Who has received something which is the best. And I tell you, never leave it. Tell your wife, this is what we have acquired, the precious, which we can never leave. I was telling you about Martha. And I told you that you can claim to be. But the time will show that really what you claim is not what you are. Now, the Bible talks about Martha. Jesus asked Martha, and Martha said, Martha, where have you buried Lazarus? And you know what Martha had said? He said, I know Jesus, anything you ask can be done now. If you ask him to come from the dead, I've seen you raising the people from the dead. He will come out. But now the hard time comes when you want to know which one is the hardest. Here is a man you have been following up. Here is a man who has been telling you what he is. Here is a man he has seen raising the dead. And now a time comes when he say, Where is he buried? Let me go. Then he say, Jesus, listen. Wait a moment, I tell you something. He told Jesus, Jesus Christ, listen. 4 days he's dead. And you know what is happening? He's even smelling. Not only that, he's even smelling. And Jesus told Martha, what is wrong with you? I told you I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, he will live again. Can't you believe what I say? That's what we are. You see, that? Can you manage such a kind of a test? And Jesus told Martha, we go. Martha said, no. There with Mary. Mary did not answer back. Do you know what? Because Mary has been listening all the days of Jesus' life. And he had put everything Jesus has been teaching in his life, in our life. And he knows that when Jesus says a word, he means that is the word. And so if Jesus said he was going to the grave to resurrect Lazarus, that is the truth. And he could not say, why are you going there? Oh, he has been dead for many years. Now, can you compare the two? Compare Martha and Mary. What was the first priority of Martha's life? The world was too much. She was a believer. She was. Are you not a believer? You are. But you have not come out of the world. You have not yet. You need to come out. When you come out of the world and come out of it, then when this word speaks, you will always say, yeah, that is the word. What does he say? This is what he has said. We have to do it. Because he speaks about our home. No? He speaks, the word of God always speaks about our home. He speaks about how we are going to enjoy. You know? A home of enjoyment where there is no pain and sorrow. Is that not a good home? Pastor told us this morning that there is no sickness there. People who have one leg, they will have all the legs there. Is that not a good home one? I think that's the best home we need to be in. And the Bible says Jesus walked to the grave. Where were the Pharisees? Suppose today we say we are going to raise the dead. How many of you will be near? They will say, Pastor, you go. But for us, we'll stand the other side. You know, people fear the dead. Even Peter feared the demon. Who are you then? You see, when Peter was at the lake and he saw somebody coming, he said, that might be a demon. And he starts shaking. This is the man who has been casting demons. Can you believe that? Who did he cast the demon? Was that not Peter? And when Peter saw, when the disciples see Jesus walking at the lake and they did not notice, what did they do? They fear. They say, I think this is a demon. The culture comes back. You know, does that come back sometimes? The culture sometimes comes back. You see? And the things we used to fear comes back, and we start even fearing them when we are believers. Why? Because we forget what we are. See? We forget what we are. But we thank God that God never leaves us. He keeps on reminding us. That is Martha. Are you Martha or you are Mary? Which one is the first priority in your life?
Which one? But how can this be the first priority in your life? If you understand in your life the truth, if you do understand that the world is not a place we are going to live forever, then you will take this and say, surely, I'm here for a short time and I'm going away. And because I'm going away, I need to prepare the home I'm going to live in forever. Amen. We are here for a short time. 100 years. Pastor, let me tell you, we are now today 120 years from now, none of us will be living. Don't you think we would have already left? All of us, even Pastor will not stand on this pulpit. We would have all gone. Just a short time. 100 years and 20 years. Is it much? Just a little dot like this. Because sometimes I sit down when I read the Bible and I say, they tell me, who? Adam died at 980. I say, what? Then I see a man going to marry when he's 600. I say, what? This is it. I say, oh. Then I recall back and I say, what God speaks is true. If there was no sin, there was no the better one like the one we have today. We would enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. But what happened? We took another direction. And that direction has brought us pain and sorrow. But did we take that? Did Adam and Eve take that direction before they heard what the Word of God said? They took that direction when they have heard the Word of God. And they keep on hearing it every day and every day and every day. But I pray that my brothers and my sisters, what we have chosen is the best. Let us not go and take again a bad direction. Let not the enemy again deceive us and put things on our side and put things on our side, the pleasure of the world, and we look at the world and when we look at the world, we feel as if we are going to live here for 400 years, 200 years. You know, that's how the devil tells us. And we look at things and we look at them. Let us look at things differently. Why should we look at things differently? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Now, if we are daughters and sons of God, we must look at the world the way Jesus Christ looked at the world. Jesus looked at the world as a place which is going to pass away. And he looked at the world as no good at all. And that's, I think that's why he said, the world belongs to the enemy. Yeah. But let me tell you, let us rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. And let not the things of the world distract us. Who are the makers of the money? It's you. Who makes the money? Some of you are businessmen. Who makes the money? Not you. But you know, money can say, thank you very much, you have made me. But from today, I'm to tell you where you take me. So he decided for you the maker. You get the point? That's how the world, you know what I mean to say? Everything in the world, we are the one who have made the cars, the money, and everything. But the time can come when they tell us, hello, I'm the one to control you now. Do you listen? Yes. And they start deciding for us. He said, this is where I want you to take me. This is where I want you to take me. You are the one who... And yet you are the one supposed to say, I'm the one to take you here. I'm the one to take you. Then now you have... He said, then he starts now to become an idol. You see? He becomes an idol in your life. And now he starts controlling your life. When you think somebody comes and says, no. I want you to know that what you have been given, brother and my sister, is the best of the best in the life of this world. It will never pass away. Handle it with care. Love it. Cherish it. Why? Because it will pass away. It will not pass away. Forever and ever. And I encourage you to walk when you are rejoicing in your heart. And that's why Paul tells the Ephesians and says, brothers in Ephesians, every opportunity God has given you, use it. Every time you have, use it. Because we don't have any time more. Last year, but one, we are here. Now, since this is the fourth year we are here, and I don't know how the world is going. You see? And if you are 44 this year, how old will you be next year? 45. And you think 45, you'll lay there, tomorrow you'll be 50. And tomorrow you'll be 70. And you'll be 80. And when you reach 80, you say, I'm very tired. I'm very tired. Even you go, you want me to go to Uganda? I'm very tired, you know. Now, the time when you are strong, when you can walk, how many times did you give him? When you can walk and run, how many times did you give him? Because now you are coming to age and you are saying, I'm very old. There's a man who came from California. This old man came when he was 82. You know, he said, Pastor Moses, thank you for allowing me to be part of this opportunity. Because I would have died without somebody coming to Christ. And you see, he was having a stick. He was going to the villages with his stick. He was 82. But the joy he had was that when he saw people getting saved, he was crying that, I wish I go back to the year of 30 or 20. And I told him, it is not possible. It is not possible, and it will never be possible. And so the time God has given you now, that is the time. So let us use the time. Because we don't know what tomorrow will be. When we go to bed, we don't know whether we will wake up. Our lives are in God's hand. And so that opportunity you have, use it. Use it, my brother. Use it. Look at God and say, God, you are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy to be praised for what you have done to me. There are people who are crying that, I wish I hear the gospel. I wish I was like so and so. I wish I'm saved. What do they mean by being saved? Some people are crying, but they can't get somebody who can tell him what he's supposed to do. But what about you who have got this? Is it because you are so good? No. But Jesus loves you. And he gave you what he bought with his life. He died for what you have. He never just came down here and just coming down here and he sit around and say, you people now get saved. No, it was a battle. What you have acquired took somebody's life. That's what I want you to know. What you have, what you are now, took somebody's life. Can you imagine God being crucified among other thieves, naked? How would you imagine that? You imagine Jesus Christ, your creator, who brought you to being. Without him, no man would be. The world would never be there. That's where we began. We never came from. I wish believers could remember. Can you really call, brother? Because the Bible says, on the sixth day, what did he do? He created man. You know, he molded us in his image. And then the same man who molded us in his image, just look at that love and try to meditate about that love first. Brother, if you meditate upon that love, you will never regret. And you will say, this is the only man. This is what I've found, which was really the best in my life. How can who created you? Pastor, sometimes I'm amazed. Sometimes I ask myself, who was Jesus Christ before he came on earth? He was a spirit. Was he having a flesh like me? The word say no. But he put on Morris nature and he put on and look like me. 100% man, 100% God, and he came from heaven to earth. He was the creator. First of all, I want you to understand, he is the creator. Who brought you to being? And having brought you to being, what happened? You disobeyed. And now your disobedience cannot come to life again unless death occurs. And God himself say, I have to go and die. Now, how do you die? How do you humiliate yourself before your creation? Have you ever meditated upon that love? How? How can a creator put on your nature? How can a creator come from heaven to earth? How can he stand naked before his creation? And they beat him, and they mock him, and they kick him. Sometimes when I talk about kicking, I say, Jesus, forgive me. I was among the people who kicked you. Do you know why I say that? Yeah, from the generation of Adam and Eve, my father was, my grandfather, they were there. They were the people who do that. I don't say even the Jews. The Jews did that, but we are part of those guys. We are from Adam and Eve, all the Jews and all of us. Amen. We mocked him, we kicked him, we beat him, we put him on a cross and we laughed at him. And still when he was on the cross, he said, forgive them because they don't know what they have done. What kind of love is that? Brothers and my sister in the Lord, what we have acquired is the best. What you have acquired, no one can take away from you. Rejoice always. When it comes the time of the Savior, when it comes the time of doing the things of God, rejoice. Sometimes we rejoice when we are going to buy our car and you look at it and, hello darling, don't you think this one the best? And say, yeah! Then they say, how much is it? Hey, one day I was walking and I saw a motorcycle. There are big motorcycles in America. Big like this. I've never seen that. Then I asked a man and I said, how much is that motorcycle? The man told me that, Morris, that motorcycle can be $40,000. I said, eh? Two church plants? I said, oh God. Two church plants. Where 3,000 people and 4,000 people get saved. You imagine that. And those people are going where? Going to heaven to be with the Lord. 3,000 people get saved. I said. Now, the guy is and they say we are in life. That the truth is, that's what he calls life. But that's not life, it's death. It is not life at all. Because after after 10 years, he will never see $40,000 again. The picky was gone. But what we have acquired, what you have received is the best of the best, my sisters. Let me listen to the word of God. Take the word of God. Smoke it every day and say, God, thank you for having me listen to your word. I never knew you, who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. God has revealed himself to you. He said, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. You are in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. Then who can be against us? And because we are his people, and he will be our advocate on the last day. Brothers and my sisters, let us take the example of Mary. Let we take the teachings. Let we build them up. Let we obey the teaching. Let we love the word of God than any love in this world. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And whoever does not love me will never obey my commandments. And that's why I say on the last day, Matthew 7:21, many will come that day. They will say, we preach the gospel, we sang the songs, and we dance on the church. We cast out demons, we heal the sick. And he will tell them, quit away on my sight, wicked people. Why? They did not do them for the glory of the Lord. They did them to receive the glory. You see, when you go to a church where they teach the word of God, you will never get many people there. But you go where there are miracles. Thousands of people are there. Are they there because they know Christ? No. They are there because of miracle. Tell them about buying Jesus Christ, he will tell you nothing. You go out at the footstep there and he's going out. You ask him, what did the pastor teach? He will tell you. No, I can't remember anyway. I can't remember. Which means this time he was sitting at the pews. And that's what happened to us. As we are sitting and the pastor is laboring and the elders are laboring and they're teaching us. What happened next? What do you think? He's preaching and teaching. Our minds are counting money in the bank. The business is there. Where will I meet with so and so at 3? You know? We come to church but we have already made plans. You get the point I'm driving to? We have already made plans. I will be in a church. But do you know that today is Lord's Day? It was Lord's Day. But you have already made also plans in the Lord's Day with him. There are people to meet on the Lord's Day. Why don't you also... Let me ask you a question. Why don't you meet them on your days also? Why? See, you ask yourself a question. Why don't you meet them on your day? Why only the day of the Lord? Then the answer will come, I'm not a committed Christian. Yes. Because I'm not ready to lose my day, but I'm ready for the Lord's day to be lost. That means that what I claim to be is not what I love, and it's not what I say. And that's what I ask you a question. What is your first priority in life? If you claim to be, people will know. People will know. It will not take time before people know you are first priority in life. Because what is your first priority in life will always take and overtake the things of God. They will always take the things of God. But Jesus say, what you have received is the best. And it will never be taken away from you. Remain what you are until one day you go back home. May God bless you. Amen.